Advent blessings. Catholic vitamins. Vitamin K. Knowledge. With guest Gary Zimek. Episode 67.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Good morning. This is Brenda from Bloomington, Illinois. My guess for the next Vita Scrabble, the letter K, is knowledge. I just listened to J for Journey, and I really liked it, especially Pat Gone's story. It was really cool to hear that she does your intro, so thanks for sharing that tidbit of information with us listeners. I didn't know that. We are recovering from a blizzard here right now, so any journeying today that we do is going to require many layers of warm clothing. Today is also what I call a soup day, so I've got a pot of vegetable soup simmering for later. Enjoy your sunny day in Arizona and have a wonderful week. Bye for now. One more thing. My mom is doing well, and I'll see her on Saturday, and I'm taking her the Eucharist CD you sent so she can enjoy it as well. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Brenda, from Bloomington, Illinois.
Where it's cold.
And it's been cold here in Arizona, too, Dee.
Yeah, it was sunny when she sent that voice feedback, but that soup she talked about sure would feel good today.
It's a little bit late in the evening, but I'm ready for a little soup before bedtime.
You are?
Well, I think so, yeah. I need a little bit more. We had an early dinner today.
We did. I could go for just a bowl of cereal.
Really?
Yeah.
You could probably go for some apple pie or peach pie.
Well, that too, but no, I won't do that.
All right, well, we're prattling. It's Catholic Vitamins. It's Tom.
And Dee.
We're glad you're with us. We're in kind of it's almost the holiday mood.
Can you believe it's only 6 more days till Christmas?
Yeah, but we never know when people are listening. So
that's
it could
true.
Be 3 days,
that's
2
true.
Days, or it could be after Christmas. Let's see. We've been talking about what we're going to do for our holiday schedule. We might as well say a word about that.
Okay.
We're not going to do a show for next weekend, which is Christmas weekend. We're not going to do a show, for New Year's weekend.
So we're taking a break.
We're going to take 2 weeks. However, we've made a decision about something that would be nice to do. In honor of the newborn Christ child, we're going to do a replay on Catholic Vitamin A, our original show, Adoration. And we had Father Mark Rutherford. Do you remember him?
I do.
Yeah. So that was a great story that he shared, great testimony. And in honor of the Christ child whom we adore, we'll play that show about adoration. And it probably is a little rougher than some of our current shows. It was our first real one that
was.
We did. Yeah. So don't call in and complain and think there's something wrong with your iTunes software. We're going to do that show over as a...
Maybe we'll preface it that it's a repeat, so...
Sure, sure. And speaking of taking a break, we have very graciously, and, you know, I hate to brag, but we have given Cheryl Deco and Peggy Bowes time off for... They're going to be with us on this show.
Right.
But we've given them time off with pay and benefits. Both their pay and their benefits continue. I tell you, if you get to work for Catholic Vitamins, it's almost like a government job. So they're going to be off for a while, and we hope they are blessed with a wonderful Christmas and Holy New Year, and we thank them for their contributions in the past, and we look forward to them joining us back again in January.
All right.
Okay.
So let's take a little break here, and then we'll come back with some feedback.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back from a little break, dear. And going back to Brenda's nice feedback that she did at the beginning of the show, she guessed knowledge, and she was correct. Her name has gone into your famous basket. And we also had some feedback from Greg Gorman, and he correctly guessed knowledge. He said he had been behind a little bit in our shows, was catching up, and he heard our last show. He also heard Pat Padley's I Want Candy request.
Yes.
We haven't heard from Pat since...
Well, we drew Pat's name and we drew Greg's name. Only Greg was behind and he hadn't heard that yet, but he found the candy on his doorstep.
Ah, okay.
Then all right. He listened to the podcast. Then he knew what that was all about.
Okay, well, moving... Oh, no, before I leave, I want to say that we have been praying for a while for Greg's wife, Sarah, and she's been struggling with breast cancer. He speaks very lovingly of her and that she has been doing well, and so we're really glad to share news. And speaking of praying for her...
I also got, or we also got, an email from our friend Daniel, and he was asking for prayers for his grandma. Grammy, he calls her, and he says her condition is end-stage renal failure and several other serious conditions. So he was asking for us to pray and ask our listeners to pray, and so we are doing that.
One of the things that we've talked about from time to time on our show is being prayer warriors, intercessory prayer warriors, and we take your requests very seriously, and Dee and I frequently return to them in the evening when we're doing evening prayer together, and know that they're not forgotten. So if you have anything that you'd like us to pray for, please let us know, and let us know whether we can go public with it so we can get other people to join with us, right?
Right. The more, the better. Also, Daniel wrote in and said, I'm listening to the morning air on Relevant Radio on my iPod Touch, and there was a reflection from the founder of Madonna House, and he recalled from listening to our podcast that we have mentioned her, Catherine Doherty. He found it really interesting and inspiring. And he said he listens to talk radio for Catholic Life, and it all started with listening to Catholic shows on SQPN and Catholic Vitamins, too.
Yeah, that's for sure. All of us, huh? Speaking of Madonna House, we were at Madonna House a couple days ago.
We were, the local one that's about 90 miles north of us.
In Arizona, we took up some Christmas goodies, which I'm sure are still wrapped up there because they won't open anything early.
Yeah.
We went to Mass with them.
We left at the crack of dawn down here to get up there in time for Mass.
Yeah, we went to Mass, then we had breakfast with them. And, you know, we could probably spend a half a day sitting at the table with them. And
we could. We always enjoy visiting with them.
Their wood-burning fire stove was going. It felt
nice
so good.
Nice and cozy.
Yeah. So then we left there and we went over to Flagstaff, about, 70 miles or 60 miles. We met with a high school student.
No, college student.
College student, yeah. She was high school student.
She was from here, from our local parish here, and she's going to college over there. And we had arranged to meet her for lunch and had a really nice lunch with her and got to know her a little bit better. And then finished our Christmas shopping.
Yep.
And it started snowing.
Oh, my goodness. In Arizona?
Yes.
Yeah, it was really snowing for sure. All right. Well, our subject today is knowledge, something we can't get enough of. And sometimes we can come to knowledge in different ways than just reading books. And I think our guest will speak to that. And we'll be back with our guest.
Thank you.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a lay evangelist. His name is Gary Zimek, and we're really pleased to bring him to you. Gary, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Well, we talked a little bit. We exchanged a little bit of email. You and I prayed just before we got started, so I can't think of anything better than to jump in. And most of our listeners may not have heard of you. I shouldn't say most, but maybe many have not heard of you. And nonetheless, sure. Maybe we could start with young Gary and tell us about that part of your life leading up to today.
Certainly. If we start at my early childhood, I'm a cradle Catholic. From the very beginning up until the present time, I never physically fell away from the church. I went to Mass every week. And I think as we talk a little bit more and explore it, my story will be common to a lot of people. Originally, I didn't think it was that common, but it's the story of a person who was Catholic all of his life, but who never really understood the faith and never knew Christ as a person. So that being said, talking about my early childhood, my parents were really good. They set a good example for me in that it was always assumed that you would go to church on Sunday. In the household, we never said grace. There wasn't a lot of talk about the faith. But what my parents did was set a very good example in that I always feel like you just have to go to church on Sunday. It's just something. It's the right thing to do. I went to Catholic school, Catholic grade school for 8 years. I was an altar boy. I started school just after Vatican II, and in the late 60s, early 70s, I was involved with the guitar masses. I played guitar at Mass. As I said, I was an altar boy, went to Catholic grade school, went to Mass each week, went to confession periodically. Not too much, but I went periodically, went to Catholic high school, and again, the guitar playing at Mass continued in high school. But it's funny, it was more of a social event, I think, than a religious experience for me. But I was always around the church. I was involved in different activities, such as playing at Mass. And it was somewhere in the time frame of early high school, I would say, that I started to finally pray. And the Lord and I had a relationship, but it wasn't a very good one, in that the only time I would really pray is when I needed something. But I always, when I talk to people, I a lot of times refer to my anxiety as being a blessing. I was always an anxious child. I was afraid of everything. I was worried. I would just be fearful that my parents would die. I was fearful of something happening in school. And I would learn to turn to the Lord and pray. Again, it was the beginning of a relationship. I would pray when I need something. But there was something there. We established a bit of a relationship then. As I got out of high school, I went to college locally. So I didn't move away to college. I commuted. And again, that was, as far as the faith goes, it was more or less a continuation. I'd go to Mass each week, pray if I needed something, if I had a big test coming up or if I was worried about something. Slightly, I guess it was toward the end of my college years, I also got involved with the charismatic movement. And you know, it's funny, Deacon, I look back on those times, and that was the first time, I think, that I really started to integrate my faith into my daily life. Before that, it was you go to Mass on Sunday, that's what you do. You don't really think about it the rest of the week. But when I was in college, I got involved with the charismatic renewal movement, and I only did that for about a year or so. It taught me something. It taught me that people pray and talk about the Lord outside of church, and that was new to me. So when I look back on those days, I look back on them finally, and again, I guess I had a series of little conversions along the way. I didn't necessarily realize I was going through conversions, when I this lasted through college, I got out of college. Got a job. I remained home with my parents until I was about 28, I think it was. The Sunday Mass attendance continued, but no real relationship with the Lord. Just praying when I needed something, and sad to say, I'd forget about him when things went well. But there was something that continued to draw me. And I felt a closeness to the Lord, even though I couldn't put my finger on it when I would walk into a church. I know now that that was the power of the Eucharist, and the Lord would reach out, and we had some kind of a connection, and I'm so fortunate that he was very patient with me for all that time. And that was pretty much my story until about five or six years ago. Would you like me to continue with that?
Well,
with the story?
Let's hold for just a minute, because sure. I'd like to bounce. Our Catholic vitamin for today is K, knowledge.
Yes.
And what I think I've heard described is a fairly typical story. I see it in my areas of ministry, where there are people who practice Catholicism or do Catholicism to one degree or another, but they don't have relationship and knowledge. Would that be true of what you've described so far of your path?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And I thought I was doing the right thing. And I didn't even realize that there was more to life. There was more of a relationship that I should have had with the Lord. I thought, this is what you do. You go to church and then you live your life. And then back on Sunday, you're back in church.
Before we get into 5 or 6 years ago, I heard you say that you were with your mom and dad after college and you were there until 28.
Yes.
Was it marriage that took you out of the house?
No, it wasn't. Actually, I didn't get married until I was 35. It was a new job. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I moved over the bridge to New Jersey, which was, for people who live in Philly, that's like moving to a different country. And that's where I live now. I live in New Jersey. But it was a job that brought me, took me out of the house. And it was difficult because I had a good relationship with my parents, and it was hard to move away.
Okay. Tell us about your marriage and family, just so people are up to date there.
Sure. When I was 35, as I said, I got married to my wife, Eileen. I really admire her because she had such a strong faith, and she still does. And I'd like to say she had what I would call a childlike faith, and I don't mean that in a pejorative sense at all, but she just trusted God, and she never questioned anything. And she came from a deeply religious family that they were such good people, and they just always did the right thing. They never had any questions. Even though I never got into any big trouble, I was more of a cynic, and I don't think I was as open to trusting in church teaching. I would ignore certain teachings that I didn't necessarily want to follow. I never like to admit this, but it's a fact that when I was in my younger days, I would probably drink a little bit too much when I knew it was a sin to get drunk, but I would kind of ignore that. And, in certain things, if I wanted to illegally copy software, I would do it, and something inside of me knew it was wrong, but there's always enough people to tell you that it's not a big deal, and you generally tend to seek those people out. So that was, my wife really helped me to understand the beauty of the faith and to be obedient to the teachings of the church. We have two beautiful twin daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, who are now 13. They're really, if I could, I'd just like to say a little bit about them. They are living miracles. My wife and I had some infertility issues when we first got married. Eileen had a test done to see what the problem was, and without any treatment or anything, just a simple test of her tubes to see if there was any blockage there, something must have cleared out, and we became pregnant shortly after, and we're pregnant with twins. But Mary and Elizabeth had a syndrome known as twin-to-twin transfusion, which at the time, I think the treatment's a little bit better now, but it's a very dangerous condition, and they had it very early on in the pregnancy, and multiple doctors told us they wouldn't live.
Oh, wow.
It was a really serious, really serious situation. But when Eileen and I think back on it, it's funny. Instead of doing a lot of research, we did a little bit of research into how we could surgically handle the problem. But we prayed. We turned our effort to prayer, and we had everybody that we could imagine pray for us. And eventually, the doctors were amazed, and they started to say, "Wow, you guys must really have someone on your side." And we certainly, we think back to those during those times, and there, even though it was a very stressful time, it was also a very peaceful time because we felt the Lord was in control. And fortunately, the girls were born healthy, and as I said, they're 13 years old now, and we're very grateful that, that they're in our lives.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Gary Zimak, who is from New Jersey, you've heard, and he's here on Catholic Vitamins helping us to look at the topic of knowledge, which we're going to work our way into. Gary, before we do that, and you tell about 5 or 6 years ago, I think that's where we sort of branched off, I found your work, your website, The Catholic Truth, and I also found two very lovely young girls, maybe 9, 10 years old at the time, or maybe 11, mm-hmm. who were singing a Christmas song. Was that your daughter?
Oh, yes.
How sweet. Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. They'll love to hear that. They were very excited that I put that up on YouTube.
Just as a sidebar, we will have links to your website, your work, and Facebook if you're there.
Yes, I am.
And YouTube so people can see some of your work. And we'll try to get all of that into our show notes for today's show. So here we are. You said you were on the path of praying when you needed something,
yep.
Going to Mass every week,
mm-hmm.
and leading a pretty normal Catholic existence, and then 5 or 6 years ago. So let's pick up there.
Yes, I would go to Mass every week. And again, I was one of the guys who picked up the bulletin, daydreamed through Mass. I mean, this is really the truth. I would daydream through Mass, worry about the quote-unquote important things that I had to do that day, which I always cringe when I have to tell this story, but I think it's a valuable story. I would be preoccupied with many things. I would receive our Lord, not necessarily appreciate it, the fact that I was receiving Him, and then I would take my bulletin, leave Mass, and go about my life and not really think about Him again. Now, about, I think it's really 6 years ago, I started to experience some physical ailment, and it was a very mysterious thing. I started feeling really sick to my stomach. I just was weak. I started to lose weight, and the doctors were panicked. To make a long story short, a series of tests revealed that I had some enlarged lymph nodes, and they weren't really sure what it was. They were in my abdomen, and they thought it could be some sort of a lymphoma. It turns out it wasn't anything, but at the time, and this was a period of, I guess, a six-month period where they were doing a lot of tests, I just assumed that this was it. I was going to die. And, you know, Deacon Tom, it was really an enlightening experience because I realized that I wasn't prepared to meet the Lord. There were so many things I wanted to fix. And gradually, I started to feel a little better. And I made a decision that I wasn't sure. They still couldn't rule out, you know, if I had anything. And to this day, they don't know what I had. But I decided that as long as the Lord gives me more time, I would use each day to try to spread His word, to promote the Catholic Church and learn more about it myself and promote and teach the truth of our great faith. The problem was I realized I didn't know it very well. I didn't know my faith. So I wanted to share it, but I didn't have anything to share. So I began listening to a lot of Catholic radio. You know, before that, I was one of these guys who would listen to sports radio all the time. And my head would be filled with sports and pretty much useless facts, but that's all I would think about. I made the shift and started listening to Catholic radio and using the time to fill my head with the teachings of the faith. And I was just impressed and astonished by what I didn't know. So as I learned more and more, I realized that I was getting to know Christ more, and I wanted to share this with other people. So I went to my parish, and there was an opportunity to lead a small faith-sharing group, and I did that for a little while. And eventually, I really enjoyed that. I loved teaching people about the faith as I was learning it. And I eventually realized it wasn't too hard to create a website. So I created my website, followingthetruth.com, and on there, I just put resources, Catholic resources for ordinary Catholics who might want to learn more about their faith. Where do they turn? Because I'm sure you know, there's a lot of bad information on the internet, information that might call itself Catholic, but it really isn't. And one of my goals was to always be faithful to the magisterium of the church and always point to the true teachings, because that's where we hear the voice of Christ through his church. So the website was created, and that's all I intended to do. This apostolate was just going to be a website, very simple place for people to turn and have questions about the faith answered, to perhaps get some book recommendations, and that sort of thing. And it grew from there in ways that I didn't expect.
Well, we see in my ministry and on the internet that converts and reverts are among the strongest members of the Catholic faith. Not always, but they can be. And that certainly sounds like it's true in your situation.
Yeah.
I have found out, because of doing a little research, that you've been speaking a lot, different places. You've been on shows. And could you tell a little bit about where this has led you and where you've been and who you've talked with?
Sure. And this is funny, because I never intended to speak on the radio, ever. I never thought I could do it. I was a shy person, and it's funny, but when the Lord calls you to something, he equips you with what you need. Originally, like I said, I had the website, and I started to write for the Catholic Exchange, the CatholicExchange.com website, and I was blessed to be accepted as a writer for them. And I wrote an article. This is how the whole radio thing got started. An article, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? And essentially the whole summary of the article was, he always answers our prayers, but not always the way we want him to, and not always when we want him to answer. But I got a call from EWTN Radio, from the Sunrise Morning Show. Actually, I got an email, and they asked if I would come on the radio to speak about the article. And I was really stunned. I couldn't believe somebody wanted me to speak on the radio about it. Figured I'd go on one time, that would be it. You know, I'd mess up. I really had no idea how it would work out. But thanks be to God, the Lord was with me, and it was a successful appearance. And I've been back many times since then on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's funny. Once you start doing radio shows, you get called by more. I've done a few appearances with Teresa Tomeo on Catholic Connection, also on EWTN Radio and Ave Maria Radio. I've been on with Al Cresta. I've done several shows on Sirius Satellite Radio. And I have to laugh, because I never thought I could do radio. I never intended to do it. But that really seems where the Lord's leading me. I've done some public speaking, but not as much. I'd like to start getting more involved in that. But radio is beautiful for me, because I also have a full-time job. And it allows me to do the shows before work and still be home with my family. So it's a tremendous blessing, especially to have a national audience and to be on your show. I'm honored that you would ask me as well, because there's so many people that we can reach through these different media opportunities. And we can also reach the people that don't go to church, which is wonderful.
It sure is. And, not to toot our horn, because we're pretty small potatoes in this podcast business, but my wife and I have been just absolutely amazed to hear people from Hawaii and Guam and Saudi Arabia, much less, many of the United States, who find our program. And some do just find it. A lady in our parish told us a few weeks ago, maybe just about a month ago, that she bought or got an iPod. She was looking for the word Catholic, and she saw the word Catholic Vitamins, and she went, she listened to it. She went, "Holy Moses!" So it's just amazing, and that God would allow broken vessels to carry His message.
That's true.
I just did a presentation to the priests of our deanery in this area of Arizona, and was telling them, that the Holy Fathers, John Paul II and Benedict XVI, are really pushing new media, and are pushing public appearances and talking, just as you described. So, what really is empowering is to hear you admit to so many years of modest formation, or hardly any formation,
Right.
And then to hear you talking about all these programs that you've appeared on.
Yeah.
Thanks be to God. It's just
and I give him all the credit, Deacon Tom, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't come on shows such as yours and speak about the faith unless the Holy Spirit guided me. And I realize that. But I'm so grateful that he would have let me do this. What a blessing it is to have this opportunity.
I saw an article that has a title, something like The 10 Things Catholics Don't Know But Should.
Right.
It spoke to me about knowledge. What was that article about? What would you like to say about it?
Well, that was probably one of my most successful articles. Also, it was also controversial in a sense that I can go into that briefly, but to give you a brief idea of what the article was about and where I was coming from, it was entitled 10 Facts Most Catholics Don't Know But Should. And what I intended it to be was a compilation of teachings of the Church that people, if they knew them, if they understood them, would either never leave the Church. You know, Catholics leave the Church. I can't imagine if they knew these 10 facts that they would do so. Or if a non-Catholic knew these facts, I can't imagine they wouldn't want to become Catholic. I didn't have that much time, that much space to do this, and I tried to cover a lot. But just to give you a brief idea, such things as women will never be priests, Fridays are still days of penance, the Bible is a Catholic book, it was compiled by the Catholic Church, and a couple other things, the Mass is the same sacrifice as Calvary, annulments are not Catholic divorces, hell and purgatory still exist, in an emergency anyone can baptize. And these are not the only facts that we need to know about the Church, but there was a reason for including each one. And for instance, the one about the Bible. When Catholics leave the faith to go to a quote-unquote Bible church, they need to know that the Catholic Church compiled the books of the New Testament and, you know, put the Bible just didn't fall out of thin air. And the Church was involved in putting the book together, and actually was used for liturgy when it first was compiled. The women will never be priests thing, that was, talk about a controversial one. That was, it's tough to put some things like this in there. And I just wish I had a little more time in the article to elaborate. But my main intention of putting that one in there was, when I hear people complaining that, and it's not just women, I hear more complaints from men, that it's unfair that the Church is discriminating against women. It's certainly not the case. It's that the fact that we all have different roles. Christ instituted a male priesthood. He could have ordained women had he wanted to. And my point was, by dwelling on this, we're not, men and women alike, are not exercising the benefit of what is known as the common priesthood, where we're all called to offer ourselves to the Lord and to offer ourselves with all the work we do, no matter what it is. And that was the intent there. But this article got a lot of positive support. I got a lot of good feedback, especially from Catholic Exchange, where it ran. But I'm not going to mention the diocese, but one of the diocesan newspapers asked if they could run it, and boy, did I get a lot of criticism. Everything from being called a Pharisee to who am I, or why would I say, you know, what credibility do I have? And it was an eye-opening experience for me. It was kind of sad in a way, because this was criticism from Catholics. And I always, when I write, I always make sure I cite Vatican sources, refer to the Catechism, the words of the Holy Fathers, realizing that I don't have any credibility and that I always try to just present the Church teaching. But it was kind of sad to be criticized for this particular article. But I think some of that is due to the fact that I tried to cram a lot in a very small amount of space.
Well, it definitely caught my eye, and it is something which I have moved into my files, excuse me, and I may wind up borrowing some of that material for a homily someday.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Thank you. You know, thinking about things not being fair or balanced or whatever the word was that you used a minute ago.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord won't let me have a baby. I'd
like to have... Exactly. That's so true.
You know? Oh, my. Well, I wish we had loads more time, but I am intrigued, and I'd like to be following your work and your ministry. If others are so inclined, tell us about how they could stay in touch with you. And are you available to come to parishes?
I absolutely am, and I would love to hear from anybody who would like to bring me in. As I said, I'd like to get more involved in that. That's not an area I've been concentrating on, but I'd really like to get to hit the streets and to talk to people more than just on the radio. But I'm certainly involved, more than willing to come to parishes. The best way to contact me and to follow me on any of my outreaches is from my main website, which is followingthetruth.com. It's all one word. And on there I have links to my Twitter, my Facebook, my blog. I have an email address. You can just click on the there's a link that says send Gary an email. You can inquire about inviting me to your parish. I'd love to come out. I'd love to talk to you. I'm available to answer questions through email. And it's amazing that I found Facebook and Twitter to be such great sources for evangelization, you know, because I know a lot of people are on them, and it's very easy for me with my day job to update those and put it. I put a lot of quotes from the saints on there each day, and I think it'll be worth any of your listeners' while. I don't waste anybody's time, and all of those links can be found right on my main page on followingthetruth.com.
I forget who it was that said this, and it's a little bit of a knock, probably unfair, but I want to use it to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
What I think I heard was that if you want to keep something from Catholics, put it in a book. A little bit of an owie, but what I heard you say was that you started listening to Catholic radio.
Yes.
And you were following lots of audio sources.
Yes.
To learn your faith. And,
yeah,
and that gave you the power to go out and speak, along with, you know, God's grace.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are not great readers, I think you've testified that they can gain knowledge other ways.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Deacon Tom, some people don't like to read. And actually, when I first started listening to the radio, I wasn't able to read because of my sickness. I was getting nauseous when I would read. So Catholic radio was great for me and television. And, you know, I just listened to it constantly.
Well, that's wonderful. So we're so glad that you would take the time from your evening when we're putting this recording together. Tell Eileen that we bless her and thank her for her ministry of sharing you. And
thank you.
If you get out to Arizona, both of you or all four of you, if it's still four, we'd love to have you come by and visit us.
Oh, thank you so much. We'd love to.
Thank you so much, and we'll keep you and your ministry in our prayers if you'll promise to do the same.
I certainly will, Deacon Tom. Thank you so much. It's really been, it's my honor to be on with you and to share some of these thoughts with your listeners.
God bless.
Thank you.
In Israel, a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise.
This is Cheryl Deco, president of Bezalel Books and author of Our Jewish Roots. I'm delighted to join Catholic Vitamins each week from the beautiful state of Michigan and offer a Jewish Roots perspective on the week's vitamin. This week, for vitamin K, I've selected the Hebrew word kenosis, which is spelled K-E-N-O-S-I-S. Kenosis is the emptying of self in order to be more perfectly able to follow God in His will. I think it's very appropriate for us to meditate on this word and see what it means to us individually. Most of us really do have our own agenda, our own plans for things or ideas, and when we become filled with that, we sort of crowd God out. So kenosis, then, is that purposeful emptying of self so that we can be filled with God. In the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, when speaking about Jesus, there is that kenosis reference because it says, "Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." And I think most of us are familiar with this. It goes on to say, "Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So that verse in Philippians shows us how Jesus practiced kenosis, that emptying of self. He then becomes truly an excellent example of what that means to us. So I thought this week, let us focus on ways in which we can more fully empty ourselves so that we can be more fully aware and alive in Christ. Have a blessed week.
Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful words, vitamin K for kenosis. What a great one to know about, to learn about as we come towards the end of Advent. That beautiful bridge music we're hearing is the instrumental version of Where's the Line to See Jesus? We'll play that song again at the end of the show. And here with us now for another Catholic vitamin is Peggy Bowes.
Hi, I'm Peggy Bowes, author of The Rosary Workout. I hope you enjoy today's fitness birthday segment. I'd like to talk about vitamin K, knowledge. We are all created to know, love, and serve God, but we must know God before we can truly love and serve Him. Knowledge is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which gives us grace. How do we know God, though? Catholic author and professor Dr. Peter Kreeve suggests 12 ways to get to know God better. They are first through His incarnate Son, Jesus, then through His church, and by reading and studying the Scriptures. We can know God in our own world through nature and art. Our conscience, reason, and our very lives reveal God. The saints and the collective experience of humanity show God's presence throughout history. We also know God when we do His will, and of course when we pray. As Dr. Kreeve states, you learn more of God from a few minutes of prayerful repentance than through a lifetime in a library. Knowledge is also important to improve our health. The more we know and understand the best ways to practice a healthy lifestyle, the better stewards we'll be of our God-given bodies. Try not to seek knowledge on health matters in fitness magazines or best-selling diet books. They aim to make money rather than to truly educate. Instead, talk to a trusted physician or look for university or government publications and websites. They are much more objective and use scientific studies as the basis for the information they circulate. For a list of recommended websites, click on the Resources tab at my website, rosaryworkout.com. As we draw closer to Christmas and the new year, spend a little time seeking knowledge of the Blessed Trinity and your own temple of the Holy Spirit. God bless.
Well, thanks to Peggy, she got knowledge correctly. Both of us are having trouble with our throats. It's the end of the day for me, and my voice is starting to fade.
Peggy, this is the first time she's come up with her fitness word to be the exact same word as our Vitus Scrabble word.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you, Peggy, and also thank you, Cheryl, for your contributions. We hope you have great time off, restful time off. And we'll catch you in 2, 3, or 4 weeks.
And today's the day we're going to draw for Cheryl's Our Jewish Roots book giveaway.
Okay.
Ready?
I am.
We're going two, right?
Yeah, we are. We have two books to give away.
There's one name.
Jennifer Cazo. Oh, she's our rep with
Lighthouse Media.
Lighthouse Catholic Media.
Okay.
All right. All right. That's great.
Try another one.
And Cindy Ellis. Cindy.
Cindy has got the record for the most wins since we started this podcast.
Well, that's what happens if you're a faithful listener.
That's right. Good for you, Cindy.
Yeah.
All right. So you got those two. Lay those aside. We don't want to mix those up.
All right.
And should we go ahead and draw for a candy winner?
All right. Now let's explain what this is. Once again, new listeners.
Every Christmas, I make some special little candies, little chocolate candies, and decorate them. And Tom got this bright idea this year that we would, every week during December, we would draw a name. Those who entered in and said they wanted to be put in the basket, that we would draw a name and give away some candies. So we've already given away, I think, I've sent three different ones out.
I was looking at the ones that you made. They're very, very attractive. They're very neat. And
they taste good, too.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Okay, here's this week's lucky
winner. We're doing one of these, but we have also a couple more weeks worth,
yes,
right?
Yes, sure.
Okay, the winner for Dee's candy is Monica Marlena. She's the lady that's in, I forget what country, but...
It's Poland, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe Poland? It is, yeah. So we'll have to see if we can do that. I hope we can. Monica, if you are listening... Or if we can reach you, we'll get some mailing information, and we'll see if we can send you some of these candies.
Hey, I just came up with a thought.
What's that?
Well, we have two more weekends in December.
Right.
We're not going to be doing a podcast.
Oh, so maybe we should do...
Should we just go ahead and draw?
Yeah, let's go ahead and draw now.
Okay, let's just go ahead and draw two more now.
It's a little fair if there's any new listeners that are just joining us, but... Too bad. All right. All right. So here's one slip. This will be sort of for next week when we're off for Christmas. And that's Daniel Smirkowski.
He's another faithful listener.
He sure is. Daniel?
Okay. Well, instead of drawing two, then maybe we could hold one until we come back. We could draw one when we come back for our first podcast in January. How's that?
Oh, really?
So that anybody who might want to still join in and have a chance at this... We'll have a chance to get their name in.
You know what's wrong with that idea?
What?
I mean, we'll do it because it's your idea and it's right. But you know what's wrong? The first of the year, everybody's New Year's resolutions will be starting. Peggy Bowes will be telling us to start getting in shape. What do you think? Okay, we'll still do your idea.
Okay.
It'll be something to
notice
look forward.
How he said that was a good idea, but it was a bad idea.
All right.
Okay, so we'll have to remember that we'll do our last drawing first of January when we come back.
So let me repeat again. We're going to do a special repeating show next weekend or shortly after, which will be our first show on Adoration. And then we'll be back after New Year's sometime.
Yes.
So we have...
One more thing to draw.
Yes, okay.
We got our usual Vita Scrabble. We actually had some correct entries for knowledge.
We had quite a few, I think.
Yeah. All right. So here is the third basket.
All right. Dee and her baskets, okay.
And the winner is
Brenda. Brenda Farber. All right.
Great, Brenda. New listener, new winner.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to that.
And while we're on the subject of Vita Scrabble, I thought I would just let you know that Michael Parton, when he sent in his email to guests, he's that guy who does all these neat things with the words.
Yes.
He said, by making a keystroke
that was bolded.
With knife-like precision.
Two K words.
I made a guest to Vita Scrabble, and it is knowledge.
You're right, but you didn't get the bold. Sorry. Thank you for the fun in that
and,
area.
And Raisa
Federline, yes.
She guessed knowledge, but she also confessed that she had the help of one of her sons.
Oh, great. All right. Well, we're coming towards the end of our show. We have time for a Vita Minute, don't we?
One Vita Minute, and then we're going, gone.
Well, do we have to do a Vita Scrabble for the...
Oh, gosh.
Gosh. All right. Well, let's do.
This is what happens when we do podcasts in the evening and we're tired and we forget things.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do the Vitaminute and then we'll prepare and do the Vitascrabble. Okay.
So our Vitaminute fits with Advent. Prepare and in eternally, every day, for the child to be born in, the child who was denied an in reality, and who still is denied the ends of many hearts.
It's from Catherine Doherty's staff letter.
Right.
From Madonna House.
From my meditation calendar.
Yeah. Well, you will only hear this word that we're going to be right back, and we will as soon as we figure out Vita Scramble. Okay, now we're ready.
Vita Scramble for next time. Vitamin L.
Yes.
Ends in G. 9 letters.
All right, once again, starts with L.
Ends in G. Is 9 letters altogether.
And you've got 2 weeks at least to try to figure this out, maybe even a little more.
So if you want to call in, like Brenda did, you can call our feedback number at 206-350-3789 or email us at catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
I'll have all the information over on our blog page for this show about Gary Zimek and his ministry, his evangelization ministry. And also I'll post the article that he wrote, the top 10 things that Catholics should know but often don't. So please go over and take a look at that and check in on Gary, and perhaps you can get him to come to your parish. Wouldn't that be nice?
So as we finish out the last few days of Advent, we want to wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas, and we'll see you back here in the new year.
Blessings from both of us. You are in our prayers, and may your Christmas and New Year be holy and joyous.
Bye.
Bye.
Christmas time was approaching, snow was starting to fall, shoppers choosing their presents, people filling the mall, children waiting for Santa with excitement and glee. Little boy tugged my sweater, looked up and asked me.